You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. How many know that God is a good God? He's always doing something, and he's always doing great and awesome things. And we just magnify him and praise him for all the things that he is doing in our lives. How many know that God is on your side? Amen. How many know he's on your side? Amen. He's on your side. He's doing great and wonderful things even right now. God is a good God, and he is a wonder. And I don't know about you. Everybody have their own perspective of who they think he is, but he is everything to me. Life without him is worthless. Hallelujah. If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here. And many of you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. You ought to just give him glory right where you're sitting. You ought to just give him glory. Give him all praise and all honor. It belongs to him. For he is worthy of all the praise. He is worthy of all the honor. Hallelujah. You were sick, but he also healed your body. Hallelujah. You didn't know what to do. Hallelujah. But he made a way. Hallelujah. You didn't know how you were going to get provided for, but he made a provision for you. Hallelujah. For he is God, and he is God alone. We praise and magnify his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because he is good. And he is an awesome, 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 awesome God. Hallelujah. How many know that God is an awesome, awesome God? You deserve the glory and the honor. So we lift our hands and worship, glorify your name. You deserve the glory and the honor. So we lift our hands and worship, glorify your name. And you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There is no one else like you. And you are great. You do miracles so great. There is no one else like you. There's no one else like you. You are great. I don't claim to be a singer, but I'm going to sing it if it's on my heart. Hallelujah. Because God is a good God. He's been good to me. I don't know about you, but he's been good to me. One of the things that is in the church that we're too sensitive to sing to the God of our salvation. Amen. And we don't need to know. We need to know how to worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. And we worship him in spirit and in truth. It's about giving all our best to him. He made you the way you are. He conditioned you the way you are. Hallelujah. And you got to come to the fullness and the full knowledge of who you are in him. Amen. Because he is great. Hallelujah. God is a great God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. And just for a short time today, I'm going to talk about an open book. And last week we talked about the courts of heaven. And this reference is by Robert Henderson, who God gave him a revelation on the courts of heaven. And I just want to mention his name because some of the stuff that I have is from him. I want to make sure that you know that, you know, some of the stuff that he's had, it gave me some revelation, and I want to give this to you today. And coming to realization and revelation myself about some of the things that have happened in my life of why this occurred and why I related with this so well. Amen. So many of us have been disappointed with unanswered prayer. How many have been disappointed with unanswered prayer? How many are still waiting for some things to happen? Amen. And there's some things that that God wants to do in your life. Amen. And in order for you to do them, you got to know them. And how many are unsure about some of those things? You know, this acknowledge, are you unsure about some of those things? And there are reasons why we are unsure about our destiny and purpose. And I'm going to talk about an open book. So let's, first of all, go to Daniel chapter number 7. Many of us, even across the body of Christ today, many people are frustrated. They're frustrated because they pray and nothing happens. They're looking for their destiny to walk in, and it doesn't seem like it occurs. And a lot of people in the body of Christ are unhappy because of the fact that, you know, when they come to church, they pray, they get breakthrough here and there, but they're not a consistent breakthrough in their life because of the fact that they can't see what God has for them. And there's a reason for that. There's a reason why we can't see what God has for us. And it has everything to do with the book that God has wrote about you. So in the book of Daniel, chapter number 7, okay, and I'm going to read this starting with verse number 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garments was white as snow, and the hair of his hair like the pure, like pure wool, and his throne was like a fierce flame, and his wheels are burning fire. And you ought to know that the throne of God is alive. There's nothing dead around God. When God sits on something, it's alive. And the throne that he sits on is alive. And everything around him is alive. There's no an object that's there that's not alive. Everything in the presence of God is alive. A fiery steam issued and came forth from before him, and thousands ministered unto him. Notice what it says. Thousands ministered unto him, which means they were in worship. And 10,000 stood before him. And the judgment was set. Now, when you look at this, what it actually means is that the judgment was before them and they were all seated. And notice what it says. And the books were what? Open. The books were open. Now, this we see this in the book of Revelations, where it talks about a judgment, the white throne judgment. It also talks about books being open when we as believers are going to be judged in the believer's judgment. Books are open. There are many books in heaven. Amen? And these books contain things about you. Amen? Amen? Now, maybe you haven't heard this before, but there's books in heaven about you. Turn to Psalms 139. Now, your life has been given to you so that you can determine or have a choice on which way that you want to walk. Okay, you can walk the way you want to walk. You can walk the way that God wants you to walk. Or you can walk the way the enemy would have you walk. You can choose any of those choices that you have. Okay? But here in Psalms 139, starting with verse number 14, we find something that's very odd, and I've mentioned this before, but I'm going to mention it again. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and what? Wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Now, notice what it says in verse 15. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth, which means that you were formed, you were written, you were actually conformed in the unseen and then you were placed in the scene. Thy eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, or being unmade, if you allow me to say that. And in the book, in thy book, all my members were written, which inconsistently were fashioned, when as yet there were none of them. So when you look at this, what you're finding is that God has a book, and what he has done is he's recorded everything about you, your personality, your character, your ups, your downs. Every single thing about you is written in the book, including your destiny and the reason why you are here. Every person that is born in this world, God has written a book with all your specification in it so that you will understand that God has a plan for you. Amen. God has a plan for you. How many know that God has a plan for you? He has a plan for you. And this plan in Jeremiah 11:29, and you can turn there if you like, because I want to make sure that you, as you follow me, because I'm going to have a couple things that I'm going to say, and I'm taking my time because I don't want you, I'm not here, I'm just going to give you the truth today. That's all I'm going to do. Okay? I'm not here to get you going. Today is you going to hear. Okay? Jeremiah 29:11 knows what he says. I know the thoughts that I had towards you, said the Lord. This is what God's thoughts are about you, and this is what he has placed in the book about you. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord. Thoughts of what? Thoughts of good, or I have thoughts of peace, and not of what? Evil. To give you what? An expected end. So that means that if God has written a book about your members and your substance and everything there is about you, that means that his plan for you is always good. What God thinks about you is always what? Good. And what God has written about you is always what? Good, right? So if he wrote to you, wrote about you, that means that everything that God has written about you are good. So the question is, why is all these other things interfering with what God's thoughts is about me? Where is the issue at? If God's thoughts about me are always good and never evil, why am I going through what I'm going through? Why am I going through all the issues that I'm going through? And why is it that my prayers are not getting answered? And why do I not see the hand of God moving in a greater way? Those are the questions. How many have those questions? And we go church Sunday, we worship, and we do all of these things, and we still are not getting the answer. Now, we all have to come to the conclusion, God is never the problem. God is never the problem. So obviously, there's either we're the problem or there's somebody else the problem. Okay? And what we have to do is come into alignment with God so that we can get rid of the problem. Okay? But let me just go over a couple of things because of the fact that if God has a plan for you and he has a thought about you, that means that God's thoughts about you are good, right? And that means that if there is something hindering me from getting what God has in the book about me out, then that means I've got to find out what it is so that the things can be read. Now, let me just say this. Those of you that are prophets and those of you that are seers, prophets can prophesy by what they hear. Seers can see. Amen? And when they see, they can see things in the spirit. And when they hear, the prophets hear, they can hear in the spirit. Amen? That means that if it's being heard or it's being seen, that means God is talking about you. That means God is saying something about you. Right? That means that if that is the case, then that means in order for God to say something about you, there's got to be something open about you. That means that the book that God has written about you has to be opened. If it's not open, how can you read? Go to Isaiah 29. And this is going to, I think this is going to help us a whole lot. There are many things that hinder us from really fulfilling the mandate of God. And I'm talking about all of them. I'm talking about me. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about all of us. None of us are exempt. There are things that we want to fulfill in our lives. Amen. Amen. And if we want to fulfill them, then that means that we have to put ourselves in the place that they can be fulfilled. Okay. Okay. Isaiah 29. And I'm going to start at verse number. I'm going to start verse number 9. Say yourselves and wonder, cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They are staggered, but not with strong drink. For the Lord has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and has closed your eyes, the prophets, and you rulers, the seers, have he covered. For the vision of all is become up unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, and I pray thee. And he says, I cannot, for it is sealed. For the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, and I pray thee. He says, I am not learned. Wherefore the Lord says, for as much as this people draw near to me with their mouth and with their lips, do honor me, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. And so if you just kind of look at that, what it's saying is that God has closed the eyes of the prophets and the seers. He has caused a sleep to go on, because many times when you are looking for God to do something for you, you first of all has got to find out what's going on with you. That's why sometimes when you come to a prophetic meeting, or you want a seer to see and you want to be prophesied to, they'll pass right by you, because your book is closed. And when your book is closed, it cannot be read. And if it cannot be read, it cannot be spoken. And if it cannot be spoken, it cannot be prophesied. If it cannot be seen, you can't see it. And you got to consider why that is. And there's actually three reasons why there's delay. And I'm never going to say denial, because God, if it's written in the book, it means that it is purpose for God to bring it to pass. And if it is not coming to pass, it's not God's fault. It's our fault, because we have the power of life and death is in the power of our what? Our tongue. And if you speak it, God will bring it to pass. If you declare it, you shall see it manifest. Amen? All right. And so the first thing is that the books are closed on our lives if we have unforgiveness. If we have unforgiveness against any person, against God, even ourselves, or our friend or our enemy, your book's going to remain closed. Jesus says this: if you forgive, you shall be what? Forgiven. It says, forgive them, right? So if you don't forgive, how can your Heavenly Father forgive you? You can't even move on unless you get forgiven from your Heavenly Father. Are you listening to me? If you don't know how to forgive or you will not forgive, then that means you stay in the same spot, and I'm going to be very harsh on this, until you die. I'm just going to be honest with you. Because here's the reason why I've got to be very upfront with you. Time is running out. Time is running out on the church, and God is looking for the true worshiper. Okay, and I'm going to tell you why God is looking for the true worshiper, because the true worshiper is going to fulfill their destiny. Are you listening? If you're not a true worshiper, there's no way you can fulfill your destiny. If you cannot worship God in spirit and in truth, you will never, ever fulfill your destiny, and that means that your life will always be up and down. And you'll get to regular blessings like everybody else, because God says he'll pour out blessing upon the just and the what? But we are above and not beneath. Hallelujah. That means that God wants to bless us even more than those that are around us, so they can see the goodness of God in our lives, so they can know that the God that we serve is still able and he still can do what he says he can do. Are you listening? God wants to do something awesome in your life because he'd written it down about you before you even got here. What did he say about Jeremiah in 1:5? He says, Jeremiah, I called you. I knew you before you were even what? Formed in your what? In your mother's womb. And I called you to be a what? A prophet to the what? Nations. Notice this, that his call was connected to God's purpose. That means that your call is connected to God's purpose. Are you listening to what I'm saying? If your purpose is not connected to God's purpose, then that means it's not God's purpose. It must be yours. If it's yours, then you're going to fail. I'm just being honest with you. If everything that is about you and is not connected to the purpose of God, you're going to fail. And people don't want to do that. You know, I'm going to be really honest. People want to do what they want to do today. The Bible says submit yourself to God. Amen. The Bible talks about the fact that submit yourself, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. That in due time he will do what? He'll exalt you, right? And people don't want to exalt themselves. People do not want to submit themselves to God's lesson and plan and path. They want to do it their way. And when you want to do it your way, you're going to fail. Let's just be honest. You're going to fail because you're doing it your way. God has the only way that is the perfect way. Are you listening? All right. So listen to what this says, okay? Therefore, the Lord says, for as much as thy people draw near with their mouths and with their lips, do honor me, but have removed their hearts far from me. That means that there are people that is around you that will sit up there and lift their hands up and they'll sing a song, but they're thinking about something else. There's people that come in and they're lifting their hands up, and what they're doing is they're crying about their problem with their hands lifted up. There are people that come in and their thoughts are not even on Jesus. I'm just here for a visit. I'm just going to be really honest with you. I don't care what church you go to. If you go in there, you ought to be ready to praise God. You ought to be ready to lift your hands up and give God glory and praise and honor him no matter where you're at. Because wherever the body of Christ is, when we come together, the Bible says, fail not to assemble yourselves together as much as the manner of some is. You know, some people do not want to assemble themselves together because their focus is not on God. They're on everybody else instead of looking to him. The author and the finisher of your what? Your faith. Okay? So I don't care You might have a problem with me. That's all right. I'm going to forgive you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to still do what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to love you. I'm coming in. I'm praising God because my focus is to minister to him. If I minister to him, I'll be all right with you. Hallelujah. Bless the name of Jesus. So, unforgiveness. And let me tell you, most of you already know, most of your healings will happen. 60% of the healings that happen in your body is because of the fact that you forgive. 60% of the problems that you have in your body is because somewhere in your life you have not forgiven. If you start looking back and let the Holy Spirit drive, go take you back, you'll find out there's an area of your life that you have not forgiven something. And some of us even be mad at God, and we have not even repented of that. And you keep wondering why nothing's happening. Hallelujah. Praise God. I know it's going to be kind of quiet. It's okay. As long as Okay, second thing. Your words are full of negativity. When you talk negative about any situation in your life, any situation in any area of your life, when it doesn't line up with the word, what will happen is the book that God has opened for you will close because there's no agreement. And if there's no agreement, he can't do anything. That's why the Bible talks about the fact that, you know, when God wants to do something in the earth, the Bible said Amos 3:7, it talks about the fact that when God wants to do something, he's going to reveal it to a prophet. Why is he going to reveal it to a prophet? Because he's going to reveal it to somebody that comes into agreement with his word so it can be released in the earth. I don't know why we think that everything that God is actually, he's in charge of everything. And if that was the case, why he's not in charge of us? We think that God, you know, we say all the stuff that's going on in the world and all the mayhem and stuff like that, we blame God. Why is he doing all that? God ain't doing that. That is a devil. Because somebody hasn't prayed. Somebody hasn't interceded. Somebody has not released God in that area. Therefore, the enemy wreaks havoc in that area. There's generational curses in that area. There's things that are in an area that needs to be taken care of, but because the saints of God, because we don't pray, because we don't fast, because we don't seek the face of God, nothing happens. And when nothing happens, we come in our churches and we jump around and we holler and we scream and we do all those things, but we do not do anything about God's real purpose. His real purpose is his heart. God wants the souls of men saved. Everybody agree with that? And if we stop looking at ourselves and start looking at God's purpose, then all the other stuff that we're dealing with down on this level will go away. Because then it becomes about him and not about nobody else. Okay? So we need to understand that. So if we our negative words will actually causes us to kill the purpose of God in our life. Notice what I said. Life and death is in the power of the one. And if you speak negative words, it will cancel out what God wants to do. Okay? Professing curses in our lives. Professing curses in our lives. And I'm not getting a lot of detail on that because I'm still doing some research on this. But things that have happened in your past by people in your past or by our forefathers, generational curses that have actually caused things to cut you off from what God wants to do in your life. And you're wondering why. You're doing everything that you can do, and you're wondering what God, why is it, God, I'm doing everything I can do. Why is it not happening? Because there's a generational curse you need to break. because it's following after you, and until you deal with it, it won't break. Okay? And some of these are all areas that will stop your book from being open for it to be revealed to you what the plan of God is for your life. There's people walking around today that are empty inside, frustrated. And what they want to do is they want to blame the church instead of looking at what the real issue is. The real issue is that we are out of alignment. Okay? So, the next thing that we need to know is there are three things that will open up the book back. The book will be back open to you. Okay? So how many want your book open? Okay. So the first thing is, I'll say four. The first thing is, in order to get your book open, the first thing is you got to repent. I mean, that's just the bottom line. You got to repent. If you don't repent, the book will stay closed. But if you want everything that God has for you, how many want everything God has for you? Okay, if you want everything that God has for you, in order for this to happen, then you're going to have to repent. Now, you might be the perfect saint. You still need to repent. Because our righteousness is as what? Filthy rags. So it's not your righteousness. It's Christ in you, his righteousness that he placed upon you. And you are now able to come boldly to the throne of grace to ask help, right? If we confess our sins, then he is just and faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all what? Unrighteousness. But if you or I decide that we're always right, and we make these kind of statements, and when we make these kind of statements, we need to be very careful about we make these statements. And let me say it like this. You make judgments against people, and you don't even know that what you're talking about. And sometimes when you make judgments against people, that judgment that you placed against them will come back and haunt you. And you'll be wondering why. You know how it says, what goes around comes around. It is true. When you speak evil against somebody else, it'll come back and it'll bite you. It will manifest in your life. That's why the Bible says, always speak good. It says, bless your what? Your enemies, right? Do good to them that do what? That despitefully what? Use you. Why? Because what you say about them is going to come back on you. So when you declare something good about them, when they come against you, good can only come to you. All right? So there's three things. That you can write these things down that actually will open up your book, okay? Repentance is first. And I'm just going to name these cats. I'll get into deeper teaching on this later on. But the first thing is repentance. Repentance from your sins, generational sins that has been identified. And when I started reading this and stuff, the Holy Spirit brought up things that was in my generation from the past that I didn't even recognize. But then as soon as the Holy Spirit brought it to me, I repented of it. Okay? Because we got to do that. Because it will affect you. It will affect your life. It will affect your children. And we don't want this stuff affecting our children. We want our children to actually begin to walk in the things that God has all ordained for them to do. Otherwise, that curse will continue to go from one generation to the next generation to the next generation to the next generation. But you have the authority right now to break it because you have knowledge of it. All you have to do is ask the Holy Spirit to show you. Because most of us know maybe what it is, but sometimes there's what is called the secret things that have not been revealed because everybody's keeping it secret in the family. And the Holy Spirit will open it up to you and open your eyes up to see. So when you break it, the whole family is set free because you're used by God to break the enemy in your life. Amen? Okay. So repentance. Repentance for generation. Repentance from our sins. and repentance from those that are in authority. There are people that are in authority in the family. You need to pray for those that can't pray for themselves. There are people, and we say, what do I mean by that? Is that if you got a son or daughter that are on drugs, and you're a parent, you still have authority in their life. You can go before the Father and intercede for them to break that stronghold on their life. Are you listening to what I'm saying? But if you say, I'm just going to let them do whatever they do and they get a taught lesson, the devil will destroy them. But you got to go into the throne room of God and you got to intercede for them so that the enemy knows that he got to take his hand off of them. When you start getting serious about this stuff, stuff starts happening. Okay? Now, this one is one of the most important ones, and this one is the one that most people have the look of it, but don't have the inside of it. It's called worship. To open the book, you have to worship in truth. Okay? Now, this is a personal experience of mine. I didn't even know anything about this. I begin at an early stage in my life and in ministry, because I can't sing. I couldn't do all this stuff. And people would force me to go up and do it because nobody else would do it. You know how church folk are. There'd be a bunch of them around, and every few minutes, where everybody's sneaking away, and you'd be the only one left doing it all. That's how it goes. You know, you have to come to that conclusion. You can't get mad about it. You just say, well, that's how it goes. Everybody will leave you. You know, Jesus, all his disciples left him except for the 12. And then after the 12 left him, all of them left him when he went to the cross. They all betrayed him. Right? Okay, so you need to just come to the conclusion about ministry that if you're going to be in ministry, you got to do it for yourself because the call of God is upon your life and because it's tied to the purpose of God. Okay? God will send people. He will give you what you need at the time that you need it. Okay? But you need to know that this is what it is. Okay? So they sit me up there and they sit me to do this. People would laugh at me and all this kind of stuff. They would laugh. I mean, they would cry laughing. They would cry laughing. It made me feel so bad. They would cry laughing. You know, and I would go home and I would cry about it. Say, they're laughing at me. And Lord, you got me doing this? He never answered me. He never answered me. But the thing about it was, and what that did for me, it actually retooled my heart. Because after being rejected by them, I was accepted by him. When I was accepted by him, I went into the secret place. Because one or two things will happen. Either you'll get driven away or you'll get driven to the secret place. And so I got driven to the secret place. When I got driven to the secret place, I begin to minister to the Lord in every single area of my life. I would worship him. I would sing to him. I would praise him. I would magnify him, all in the privacy of my own home, even with my kids, my wife around. They would laugh and everything like that, but I still said, I'm still praising y'all. Y'all be quiet. I still worship him. I still would praise him. I still would give him glory. I still would give him honor. I would still get up. Every single time they would get up, and I would continue to praise him. And the songs that I was singing, and I was singing it because it was in the song book, I began to accept them in my heart. When I accepted my heart, something happened to me. I had a visitation from Jesus. On that Saturday morning, he came as a light. And it overshadowed me. It changed my life forever. And so I began to worship him even more and more and more and more and more. And and more. People thought I was crazy. I still would worship him. I still would worship him. And all of a sudden, God opened my book. When he opened my book, he started reading off, this is my purpose for you. I need you to start consuming fire. This is what consuming fire is all about. This is what you need to do when you get the people in there. You need to train them into the things of the supernatural. You need to let them know that I'm on their side. You need to point them back to me, and that's, I will be with you. Whatever you need, I will provide for you. It doesn't matter about what it is. Just ask, and it will be provided. And so I started walking that pathway, and I would worship it. And then all of a sudden, the power shows up. I mean, the glory of God would show up. And they would say, this got to be the glory of God showing up because this guy can't sing. He can't do too much of anything. And when the glory of the Lord showed up, I was just so overwhelmed. And he would say, when I would go home, I would still be in despair because some people would still laugh at me. But then the Lord said, he came to me in my secret place, and he says that, I'm with you. I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. And so ever since he said that to me, I stayed on track. But the book opened up for me, and then I was able to see. I was able to hear. People would come by and tell me about what the Lord had already told me, what the Lord had already confirmed to me inside. The book was open, and so the seers would see, and the prophets would prophesy. Because I had already know what the Lord had showed me, and they just came by as a confirmation that this is what the Lord said. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I'm just trying to give you an example. I'm trying to give you a true living example of how it operates. Are you listening to what I'm saying? And true worship is one that opens up the book. If you shut down on God and don't worship him because you say, well, that's not the right song. I don't like the way that is. I don't like the way they play. They made a mistake. Your book will remain shut because you're not in true worship. You're in yourself. But true worship means that I worship him because he's king. He's Lord. There's nobody else like him. I honor him because he is altogether lovely. And I worship him because he's awesome in my life. Amen? And the second thing, two more things, and I wanted to say this, is that the book opened because it's the timing of the Lord. There are things that are going to happen in time. But what do I do while my time is not yet? You serve. The Bible says, occupy time. How do I occupy time? Because I serve. Whatever I find my hands to do, that's what I do. That's what I serve. I serve. When they tell me to do something, I do it. Amen? Because in your serving, you learn your position. In your serving, you learn how to hear God. In your serving, you learn how to listen. Because if you can't hear God in the small things, how are you going to hear God to raise the dead? It's just like David. Remember David was in the he killed the lion and the bear. He had to do that first before he killed Goliath. Right? He had to hear God how to kill those things before he got to the Goliath that he slayed the giant. And many of us, you got to hear God in the small things before you can get to the big things. A lot of people want to get to the platform right away. I got a mic. And when you get to the mic, if God doesn't stop you, you'll find yourself in ruins. And that's why God is not, it's not your time yet. Wait for your time. And then when you get to the mic, they'll hear God out of you. But if you try to go before time, they can't hear God. They'll hear you, and you'll be a disaster. That's why the Bible says, wait on the Lord. Okay? And when we wait, we minister to him. How do we minister to him? We worship him. We serve him. We serve the saints. We serve each other. We give. We give out of that. And then God will strategically put you into the place where you can hear him. You can hear him. Are you listening to what I'm saying? The timing of the Lord is everything. You do it out of time, and you're going to cause a disaster. And then the other thing that will open the book is that true intercessory. Last week I told you about in the book of Deuteronomy, Exodus, I mean, when Moses went up to the mountain. He was in the mountain. And the people down there, they started making gold and silver and made a golden calf to worship. Y'all remember that? And Moses tells, and God says, Moses, stop talking to me. I'm going to wax in my anger. I'm going to destroy all these people. I'm going to destroy all of them. All of them. I'm going to raise you up, and I'm going to have a seed come after you. But the rest of them I'm getting rid of. And what did Moses do? Moses interceded for God not to close the book on Israel, but to open up the book and keep going on Israel, because Israel was this promised seed. And God and Moses reminded God of what the purpose was. He reminded him that these are your people. He reminded him that, Lord, you said that they were going to be raised up and they were going to be like the sons of the sands of the sea. I'm just paraphrasing. You told them, you said that these are the ones that you're going to raise up, Lord. If you destroy them, then what is the world going to say? What is the nation going to say about what you did to them? You brought them out to kill them? So the book was open because the book was not closed on them. The book remained open because somebody interceded. In the book of Revelation, you've seen John, he would cry and cry because there was no one worthy to open the book. No one worthy. And he cried and cried. And because he cried, the angel came and says, we found one that was worthy. He, the Lamb of God, is worthy to open the book. And when the book was open, then he was able to read. And so those of you that are maybe not able to open your book, an intercessor can open the book for you on your behalf because they're praying for you. But you got to make sure you're in alignment. You got to make sure that your life is in alignment with God. See, people think that, okay, I'm saved. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I'm going to keep sinning. I'm going to keep doing that. I'm going to keep doing this. I'm going to keep doing that. That's a lie. You're saved by grace, right? But that doesn't mean to continue in sin. That means to be removed from sin and keep going on to perfection. Are you listening to what I'm saying? If you allow God to use you and allow God to open the book up in your life, then things can be said and seen about you. And then all of a sudden, everywhere you go, people say, there's something different about you. You look a little different. Why are you so different? They'll see your actions and say, why did you do that? When that person told you off, you didn't come back and cuss them out like they cussed you out. Amen? You bless them. You encourage them. You moved upon them by the grace of God, and you bless your enemies. There are so many people today that are so frustrated in the body of Christ. It is absolutely ridiculous. How can you be frustrated with the God of glory that gave and saved us? They say, I'm frustrated with his church. You can't be frustrated with his church. His church is his bride. And he's perfecting his bride. And the thing is, he needs you so that you can help perfect the bride. This is why you're here. And everyone has to have a part to play. And you cannot sit there and say that I am not going to be part of the bride, because if you're not part of the bride, then you're not part of him. You have to be part of the bride. We need each other. How many know you need each other? We need each other. You cannot be on an island by yourself because you'll fail. The devil will deceive you like so many other people are being deceived. You cannot be out there by yourself because the enemy will devour you. The Bible says this, that this enemy goes up and down seeking whom he may what? Devour. And what that means, one of the meanings of it is that he wants to put you before the Father and accuse you, falsely accuse or accuse you based on the words that came out of your mouth. Are you listening to what I'm saying? You make a statement, and when you go into the courts of heaven, the enemy will use your words and say to the Father, this is what your child said about this situation. And because they said it, I have authority to walk in that what you told me. And what can he do? You agree with the enemy. So what can God do? Somebody said, well, God can just rectify that. No, not because you came in agreement with somebody else. You didn't come in agreement with God. God is never going to overstep your will. He's never going to overstep your words. He'll try to tell you not to say it. But if you say it and you agree with the enemy, you got to repent. You got to repent. You got to denounce what you said. You got to get rid of that negative thinking about what the enemy said about you. You got to stop bringing in the thoughts of the enemy that he wants to destroy you. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. You are going to be something in God. You are powerful in God. Somebody say, I'm powerful in God. Say, I am a child of God. And God wants to use you because his plan for you is a plan of good and not of evil. To take you to what? The expected end. His end for you is great. Amen? We're only here for a short while. Matter of fact, the Bible says it's like a vapor. Once you leave here, guess what? You're in eternity. Once we close our eyes in this realm, you go into the eternal realm. Once you open your eyes in that eternal realm, whatever you have done, you're going to be in that eternal place forever. So why not fulfill the purpose that God has for you here? Right? Why not? The enemy says, I come to steal, kill, and destroy, right? Jesus said, I came to give you life and have you more what? Abundantly. Don't you want abundant life? Then you need to just come in to the where the blessings are. The fruit of God is right here in the kingdom of God. Amen? And it has nothing to do with a Pacific church. It has everything to do with the body of Christ and the fruits of the Spirit that is in the body of Christ that we can fulfill what God wants us to do. Hallelujah. All right. Let's stand on our feet.